God is kind. Please give him a round of applause. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything that we move into, God did them in time past. We are the ones that are now relating with what God is doing. Hallelujah. So it's not that he will do great things. Amen. He's done great things. And then we move into those things that he has done. And by the special grace of God, as we move into the month of August, the things that he has had for us, the preparation that God has made for us, we will step into them with dignity. And we will enjoy them with love. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. And we give you all the praise. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you because we will not remain the same again. Thank you because an encounter with you will leave us a different person. And your name will be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. You're welcome to church. Help me greet the person next to you and say you are welcome. The Lord be with you. And the Lord bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, today is our family meeting. The first Sunday of the month. That's what we call family meeting. So when we gather, we come together, we ask questions on the things that have been taught in time past. We come together, we give testimonies, and then we bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But I think I should welcome everybody, those of us from Abuja, those of us that are coming for the first time, and those of us that come here regularly, you're welcome once again, and God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so do we have any testimony this morning? Does anyone have any testimony? Very good, the one. I'm smiling. Hallelujah. Any other person? Huh? Okay, sorry. All right, so two. Okay, would you please come?
Hallelujah. 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 I want to thank God for his loving kindness, his mercy. You know, most times I overlook his goodness, meaning that when God does something good for you, you don't see it because you probably don't pay attention to how good God has been to you. If I could recall, this time last year, you know, we were still, you know, waiting for Laura to come forth, and she was still relaxing. You know, it was, it got to a point where doctors gave their own reports. We have to do CS, and, you know, all the long stories, sure. But, you know, I just sat down and thought about it that in 2 days' time, she'll be a year old. And looking at how far God has brought us, even as a family, is so amazing. I want to thank him for my parents. Thank him for his strength. Thank him for my mom, her health. You know, we've been having this forth and back about health, you know, sick. You're strong, you're sick. We want to thank God for perfection in our health. Thank him for my dad. Thank him for the wisdom he has given them as parents, even to, you know, to get us to this stage where we are, we can stay on our own. I still want to thank him for my brothers, my sister. Thank God she'll be rounding up her final exams in this month, and she'll be done with school. I want to thank God for his provision. Thank him for my wife. Thank him for, you know, her job had some rough edges. Thank him because God even, you know, did better. You know, it's not like she was sacked, you know, but rough edges, like I said, and then they still retained her, and still she got a better offer, and she still has the two ongoing. I want to thank God for increase. That is increase for me. I want to thank him because of my friends and family as well. I've had news all over flying, you know, people dying. You know, it's overwhelming, but I want to thank God for life, basically. If we are not alive, I would not even be standing here to see all this one I'm saying. I go out each and every day. You know, you're walking, or you're in the bus, you see a dead body lying on the floor. And, you know, I saw one and I was like, is this how people die? You know, it's just like it's sleeping on the floor. And I want to thank God because the whole truth is we have life in us and we are still living. We are still ongoing. Thank God because of his mercy and love. May his name be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Psalm 78 was saying. Verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. So verse 7 says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Hallelujah. That we may set our hope in God and not forget his works. Amen. God is awesome. Amen. And if you can always go down memory lane, remind yourself of the things that he has done, you will not regret it. Hallelujah. Your strength will be renewed like that of the eagles. Amen. You'll be like, I'm going again. I'm firing. And many people will look at you and say, you have no reason to move. But then you know you have a reason. Because he has not failed and he will never fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for the gift of life for January till date. It's not by my power, but by his grace and by his mercy. Hallelujah. And I also want to thank God for this month of August. This month is a month where I received one of the best gifts in my life. That's my daughter, Omodesola. She's a year older. And I just want to thank God for his grace upon her and upon us, the parents, giving us what it requires to raise our children. And I also just want to thank him for all that steps, for good health. And these children, they don't know, right? They really don't know what has happened till now. We are the ones that know what we have gone through from the time they were conceived till whenever, that we are giving thanks to God for them for. So I just want to praise God for their life. I just want to thank God for the children children especially, they are the gift of God, and they will definitely be mighty in our hands in Jesus' name. As they grow older, God's grace will continue to be upon them, and His light will continue to shine on their path in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so I think every parent will agree that the greatest gift that God can give you for these children is patience. Hallelujah. Patience to understand. Hallelujah. And patience to deal with them. Okay, so when she was born, two wise men from the east went to see her. Don't ask me. When she was born, two wise men, they went to see her. Hallelujah. And God be praised. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Emi to pe to si mo mo ra mi. Emi to pe to si mo mo ra mi. Emi to fi gba gbogbo ri ore ofe. Emi to fi gba gbogbo ri anugba o. Emi to ju ti ri to ju si ni ti lai lai. Emi to pe to si mo mo ra mi. Your grace is all I see. Your mercy is all I've got. Emi o da bi ohun ti mo ti la koja. Hallelujah. Emi o da bi ohun ti mo ti la koja. Tin ba ni ki n kare Oluwa o. Ile asu ile Lori aye mi ile asu ile amo tin ba ni ki n kare Oluwa o ile asu ile amo inu ile mi ile asu ile amo. As I was sitting down there, I thought, I was just thinking, has God not done anything? He has done a lot for me. If the whole of my hair is mouth is not enough to start saying, this is what God has done, this is what He has done. He has done a lot. He has done a lot. Each time I just need anything, or I'm just in desperate situation, or I don't even know what to do next, I just call upon the name of the Lord. And I see God show up for me in all situations, in every circumstances that I'm facing. So I just want to thank God from January to the month of August. And I know that God has seen me through from January to this month. He's going to see us through. I'm so grateful for everything that God has done for me. May His name be glorified forever in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. God is so faithful. If you read again Psalm 78, verse 4, it says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. It says, for he established His testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Hallelujah. That they should make them known to their children. And if we will go to the book of Psalms, in Genesis chapter 50, and I'm going to read from verse 22. And it's very important what I want to read. But before that, let's read Romans 15, verse 4. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. The Bible says, for whatever thing were written before, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. For whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Hallelujah. So that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. OK, Okay? So all the things that are written in the scriptures, they are written for you and I. Well, the Bible tells us that the scriptures are inspired by God. Okay, inspiration of God. They were written so that we can learn from them and then we can have hope. And Psalm 78 is saying that everything tell to your generations. Okay? Now, Genesis chapter 50, and this is the end result. Genesis chapter 50 from verse 22. It says, so Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. Then the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Praise God. In verse 24, and that's why I'm tying verse 24 to what Psalm 78 just told us. Psalm 78, and in verse 4, it says that we should tell the generations to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Now, this is the end of Joseph, okay? Joseph the dreamer. Hallelujah. Amen. And I hope that we understand the story of Joseph, or we know the progression of the story of Joseph. But here the Bible is saying in verse 24, well, Joseph said to the brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land to which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Okay? So Joseph was talking to some people. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had long gone. Right? Joseph was talking to the children of Israel and saying that surely God is going to visit you. Now, and what did he now say? He said, these are the things he said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Meaning that from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, they passed down the things that God told them from one generation to another. Amen. That's why Joseph could know that, look, God is coming and he's going to take you to the land that he has promised you. He said to the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and he didn't say to the land that he promised me. Hallelujah. He said to the land that he promised their fathers. And when God was going to visit the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, he said to them, when he was talking to Moses and sending Moses to them, he said, well, Moses said, if I go to them, what will I say? Who will I say sent me? He said, tell them the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It is important and very important that we raise the children and we pass the instructions of God from one generation to another undiluted. Hallelujah. Amen. Undiluted. So that people will look at the things and they will be able to relate with the fact that God is in this matter. Hallelujah. And it's very important. So don't leave everything to chance. I was in a place on Friday morning and they were talking about the fact that they will help you. They will help us raise children spiritually. They will help us make them grow in the spiritual way. But we should not forget that the whole responsibility of breaking these children grow spiritually lies in our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you go and you give your child to somebody else, okay, and you turn your back and you're not nurturing the child, what are you going to say when the one that gave you the gift is going to ask you? Amen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people helping you out. Hallelujah. But you have a part to play. Joseph says to the things that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And those things, he was running with them. So that means that when he had a dream, and then when he was sold to slavery, the things that God promised his father's father,
was with him. Hallelujah. And that's the word of God. And when we're looking at this morning, when we're looking at Romans chapter 3, when we're in Bible school, when we're looking at Romans chapter 3, we recall that, look, the God chose the nation of Israel as an example for all of us. So whatever you see God do, or what God is doing for the nation of Israel, then you know very well that this same God, if you are there to him, he will do for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you know the troubles, if you are following the world, what do you call it now? Current affairs, the things happening in the world, you see that where Israel is like they are choked in the middle of nowhere, and they're in the middle of enemies, and yet they are very strong. Hallelujah. They are very strong. And if somebody is bombing, they don't have a problem. And you know the funny thing about them? For every president that is installed in the United States, the Israelis know about it. Amazing. When the September 11, you know that September 11 attack in America, when planes hit into the Twin Tower, on that day, go and read history, on that day, there was no single Israeli in that building. You know what happened? Their intelligence, whatever, sent message to all Israelis, do not go to work on this day. There was not a single Israeli. I was doing a research then, and so we downloaded it, and so there was not one of them. And these things don't happen by chance. I can't even remember how many floors, but there were twin towers, okay? And aeroplane crashed into them, and the buildings collapsed, okay? Very mighty buildings. It's not like Cocoa House that is 13th floor or whatever, no. There are hundreds of floors. They call it World Trade Center. There are hundreds of floors, but not one single one of them was there. Amen. Hallelujah. If you will adhere to God, and then you will keep his words in the midst of your heart. Hallelujah. Then when you are stepping into the things that God has provided or made provision for you, it will make it look to people that this is seamless. Amen. So God is that deliberate about keeping his word, and he will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a word or a song to sing? It's family meeting, so there's no restriction. If you know you have a word from God, just let me know, and then we'll continue with that. Okay. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read from verse 1. And he says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and hid as it were our faces from him. Was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid up on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53 shows us the basis of our redemption. Amen. So everything that I have read, it was referring to Christ. But verse 4 says, but surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And this was Isaiah. Hallelujah. It's not Paul, neither is it Matthew or any of the 12. It was Isaiah. And Isaiah was speaking
in the past. Hallelujah. See what he was saying. Isaiah was saying things. He wasn't saying that he's coming and then he's coming to bear our griefs. He says he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. Hallelujah. This was years before Christ came. Amen. And this takes me back to what I was saying when we were singing that song, that he has done great things. Hallelujah. So whatever we are experiencing now, they are the things that God had settled even from the foundation of the earth. Amen. He had concluded everything. He said after day six, he rested on day seven. And God is not making anything new anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. It's man that is making phone version one, phone version two. There's no man version one, version two. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever God wanted to do, he did it when he laid the foundation of the earth. And so what we are all experiencing are the finished works of God. Hallelujah. They are the finished works of Christ. He says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. And he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So, now what does Peter have to say? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. First Peter 2:24. Don't worry, it's not you. But let me just tell people that the arm of flesh will fail you one day. Hallelujah. Don't rely on it. Amen. Technology will fail one day. Hallelujah. Don't rely on it. Amen. Money has failed before. Abi? Are we sure? Money has failed before. And money is still failing. Amen. You know that because money failed, that's what reunited Joseph and his brothers. He said money failed in Egypt. Everybody, all the money they had could not buy anything. So if they give them all the bullion, van, it was worth nothing. Money failed. Hallelujah. So you have to always rely on God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. From verse 23, it says, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. He says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Amen. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, from verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, he's saying the same thing. He says, but surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So there are two different people in two different spaces of time that was seeing the same thing and reporting the same thing. So Isaiah was looking and was seeing into the future and he saw that, look, this thing has been concluded. Hallelujah. And when Peter was reporting, Peter was looking back at the cross and saying, by stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, and I've said it, that when we are studying the scriptures, we need to understand the language that the scripture was written in. So that if this language is not comfortable, then you're going to take the language that is very comfortable. For me, this language is a very difficult language. Because if you are not careful, you will not see that Peter was saying, by his stripes we were healed. Meaning that it's something that had happened. Okay? So we were healed. And then Isaiah was looking and said, he has done this thing.
Okay? So, meaning that what Isaiah was seeing was the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. And then Peter was looking back at the cross and saying, look, he had done this thing. He says, by his stripes, we were healed. So if you are feeling uncomfortable, or you are feeling like, look, my system is not feeling fine, I have a discomfort. Huh? What is happening to you now had been taken care of on the cross. That's what Peter is saying. We were healed. Hallelujah. He says, verse 25 says, for we were like sheep going astray, but now has returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid him the iniquity on him, the iniquity of us all. Our reference point, the basis of our redemption, is Christ. So when you read the whole of Isaiah 53, it gives you the basis of our redemption. And we cannot live life oblivious of the fact that this is what he has come to do. Amen. The scripture says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. So that grace appears to you and I. Amen. So if you go to Romans 3 and verse 2. Romans chapter 3. Okay, let me take it from verse 1. It says, what advantage then as a Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Let me take it in the New Living Translation. It says, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there is a great benefit. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? And the answer is no. Hallelujah. He says that, yes, they were great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. So meaning that as God was introducing himself to the Jews, he was preparing us to be able to understand and be able to relate to the kind of person that he is. Hallelujah. So whatever you can read that he did to the Jews, he says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Amen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Hallelujah. So it's not no longer limited. It's for as many as we believe. Amen. For as many as we believe. So the basis of our redemption is very important. So as we walk in, as we go into the month of August, our God is waiting for you to meet him where he has provided for you. Amen. He's waiting for you to meet him. Okay? The Bible says that if the men of this world, if they understood what God was doing, they would not have allowed Christ to go to the cross. Right? So that tells you one thing, that in as much as people ascribe so much power to darkness, there's limitation to what darkness knows about you and I. Amen. Because darkness understood very well that there will be a Messiah. Okay? Darkness understood that when this Messiah comes, there will be liberation to everyone. Hallelujah. And then, but darkness did not know that if he sent this Messiah to the cross, that's when the salvation will come. You see why God's ways is far above our ways. And I'm saying this because a lot of people think that everything that the world of darkness knows about, that when they are doing things, everything was done in secrecy. He says, in this Romans 3 that we read, He says that God revealed. He revealed. If he doesn't reveal, no one can know. Hallelujah. Amen. I think in 2 Corinthians, that talks about the fact that eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Hallelujah. Sir? Let me take it from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. It says, yet when among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, nor or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Note, he said he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Hallelujah. Then he says, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious God. Hallelujah. That is what the scriptures means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. But it says it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. Amen. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And verse 3 says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Hallelujah. When we tell these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's word to explain spiritual truths. Let me go back to verse 12. It says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Hallelujah. Amen. Not the things that God will give us. Okay? He says the things that God he has freely given to us. Hallelujah. So that means that it is there. Huh? Those things are there. But it takes a revelation, an understanding, a stint with the Spirit of God for you to see the things that he has freely given to you. Amen. Ultimately to us. So we cannot walk without understanding the basis of our redemption and not know that there's a separation between us that are saved and them that are not saved. Because it says, look, if these people in the world, if they had understood it, then they would not have sent our gracious God to the cross. So meaning that you and I owe ourselves a responsibility to often walk from a point of view or from a place of knowledge and of understanding, which we get from the Spirit of God. It's all good for us to say welcome to a new month. It's all good to say welcome to a new day. But what the day has in store for us is also very important for us to know. Hallelujah. Very important. In the book of Lamentations. Chapter 3. And verse Lamentations 3, verse 22. These things are failing this morning. It says here, and I read, let me take it from the NKJV. Then we go to the NLT. Lamentations 3 from verse 22.
He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. He says, through his compassion, okay? Because of his compassion, they fail not. His mercies, we are not consumed. He says, God's mercies, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy is new every morning. We need to search out God every morning. Hallelujah. Because yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. Amen. So when you are living on yesterday's revelation, be careful. Because God is saying something today. Hallelujah. Even though he may be tied to yesterday, he's saying something today. When Joseph was speaking, he was talking of something that happened yesterday, but he was reminding them today that this God will surely visit you. Hallelujah. So in case you think, in case anybody here thinks God is slow, huh? Or you think God is taking too long to answer you, Joseph is the third generation of Abraham. Hallelujah. And then he had gone through prison. He had gone through slavery to prison, and then his prime minister. And then he saw the children of Israel grow in strength and in might in the land of Egypt. Because it was because of him that they were given the land of Goshen, if you remember. It was because of Joseph. He just told his brothers, this is what you tell the king, this is what tell him to give us this land. And then they were in that land and they were growing. Hallelujah. But then, after his death, there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Hallelujah. And you know what comes to my mind? You know, sometimes when you ask people that who is MK Abiola, for instance, if you ask these children who is MK Abiola, they don't know. Abi? And that's how many years ago? 1993 to now is how many years? 20, 30, how many years? 30, 90, 93, about 30, Abi? 32 years. Aha. So there's a generation in our midst that does not know what happened in 1993. Abi? There was a time I was telling some people's story. I was talking to them about, I know I'm very young. I'm not old at all. Don't think I'm old. But I was telling to them about Goody Goody. You know Goody Goody? Eh? Do you know Goody Goody? You know Goody Goody? Some of these children don't know Goody Goody. So when I was growing up in our house then, you know one cobble? Do you know one cobble? Answer me now. What's the color of one cobble? Eh? You can see the confusion. What's the color of one kobo? Do you know we had a 50 kobo note? Ah. Are you sure? Are they right? So when I was growing up, I thought we didn't, you know, I will always tell you that we didn't have money. It's whatever we eat, see every day that we used to eat. I mean, my God is very good. If you give me garri in the morning, and garri in the evening, and garri at night, when you see me, I'll be very robust. I'll be very fat. You will not know I'm taking garri. Hallelujah. Amen. So even now, as I sit down, they will give me garri and granite. I am very fine. I know that you cannot know that I took garri and granite, because that's the grace God has given me. So in those days, those one kobo, we didn't value them as such. They will fall down and roll under the cupboard. But because we wanted to buy sweet then was meta one kobo. Three for one kobo. Eh? So we'll be doing like good boys, my brother and I. We'll carry broom, we'll be sweeping. We're looking for one kobo. We'll sweep under everywhere, sweep. Then we see one kobo, two kobo, three kobo. Then we know that sweet is done. Then we go across the road. They say, all right, sweet, meta one kobo. Then chewing gum. Bubble gum, you know bubble gum, the one from Shuma, is long like this. We buy it. Amen. Some generation do not know these things. I can't remember. There was a particular year. How much do you buy for now?
I like this thing. All of you, it's good though. You know when you don't know the cost of something, that means that you are too loaded. Abi, 19. When did they change it, Daddy? They changed it this morning. These are the people that are buying. Yesterday it was 865. Oh, there was this particular year. There was fuel scarcity in Nigeria. In case you think fuel scarcity is new, this young me, I remember there was fuel scarcity. That morning we woke up, and they said fuel is now 11 naira per liter. And my mother was worried. It was just, how can it jump from, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 naira or 33 kobo, 9 naira. Thank you. We just woke up, and then you know what we used to do that time? We would carry the car. Because they will leave the car by the pump. They will go home. So that when they want to start selling, they cannot sell to anybody except they sell to your car. I am telling you these stories so that you can understand what Joseph did to the children of Israel. He's the fourth generation of Abraham. I mean, the third one. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He was the third generation of Abraham. And yet he was reminding them that, look, God will certainly visit you. So, and we read Romans 15 verse 4 before I started ministration this morning. I said, whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. God doesn't forget his words. Amen. If Isaiah saw it, Peter looked back and could see it, then all of us looking together must see the same thing. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word can never change. So Joseph did not, if Joseph would have lost hope, he would have lost hope in prison. In fact, he would have lost hope when he was put inside the well. That should be, I was the one dreaming. I saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to me. What am I doing in the well? Yet, he did not bow himself. When he got to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was making advances at him, he told Potiphar's wife, I will be doing a great disservice, wicked thing to God. Yet, he was a slave. You know what it means? That if he became Potiphar's wife's boyfriend, in quotes, that meant that he probably would be doing anything. You understand? He would be just like at home now. If I want to do something, my wife will come. I say, no, don't do it. Well, somebody will do it. Abi, that's the good thing about being daddy. She'll say, don't do it. If you want to go and wash something, are you the one washing? So if Joseph had become Potiphar's wife's boyfriend, he would be doing anything now. All those, and even at that time, everything his master had was in his control. And the only thing that was left for him to control was the wife. If he wanted to forget God, he would just say, okay, fine. I control the wife, I control everything. And then he would tell the wife, I say, this is what you would tell Potiphar. Abi, and then she will go and tell him. But then, he will not see God's glory. That's what Romans 3 was saying us. That look, if our unrighteousness will not stop God being faithful, but we have to be faithful. Now that was Joseph. And then from there, because he refused and said, I'm staying with God, he sent him to prison. Hallelujah. See, all these stories, they are very short, but then it takes a length of time for them to happen. And then he came out of prison. The same dream that sent him to slavery is the same dream that sent him to prime ministerhood. Hallelujah. He was just interpreting dreams. And then when he was about to die, after long service, the Bible says he was 110 years. Okay, so if you calculate when he left home, I think he left at 17. Exactly. And then 110, that's how many years. At that time, there was probability that nobody would remember what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would have said. How many years? Because I'm talking about 30 years ago now. Some people don't know. And it's not their fault. It's the dispensation of time they are in. Abi, I remember the day we woke up and they said, we heard the national anthem on the radio. Pa, 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 pa. And then
from Shagari to Buhari. Abi? And then another morning we woke up, bam, 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 from Buhari to Babangida. These children don't know. And it's still very close. I'm saying, to forget about something, it doesn't need a very long time for Joseph to remember, to call to remembrance what God told Abraham and Jacob. It is because those people made sure that they kept it in their heart. We cannot live life based on our terms. And we should not live life based on our terms. If God says he will do something, let's know that he will do it. And everything that we are seeing that will happen, that tomorrow you say, God knows that you will need something tomorrow. Hallelujah. He knows that you will need something in a month's time. Amen. But he has put everything, he has positioned everything for you to your own advantage. He said, so that you will know the things that he has freely given to you. There's no mystery in God, though, except you choose not to walk by the Spirit of God. Amen. Not just to walk by the Spirit of God. That's it. And then it will become a mystery. It says, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of men, what God has in store for them that are called according to his purpose. For them that love him. Those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Because the Spirit of God will reveal to them. Amen. In this month of August, I don't know what you are believing God for. But what I want to tell you this morning is that when you are standing in the place of faith, you need to thank him because these things have already been done. Hallelujah. They have already been done. Amen. If you think you're not feeling okay, your body is kind of not telling you the right signals. Hallelujah. He says, by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah looked and said, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. We have to stand on his word. Because it's something that he has done, we only need to step into it. See, I always say it when I can't stand on this carpet. I don't think there's anything about this carpet, though. I just use it to illustrate that, look, if you are here, and God is here, what God is expecting you and I to do is to come from where we are, where he is. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? You come from where you are, where he is. When he was going to die on the cross, and the veil, I think I've said this several times, and the veil was parted into two, there was no more divide between God and man. He said, now enter into the throne of grace. God is seated in his throne. He's not going to leave where he's sitting, but he has given you access, hallelujah, to be able to understand, access to where he is. So you have to move from where you are, where he is. Hallelujah. And these things are by knowledge. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 was trying to tell us. It's by knowledge, because if the Spirit does not reveal it to us, we will not know. We'll just sit down and be waiting. I think somebody once mentioned a story. You know, when you're not used to things, I will tell you this one, you will laugh. When you're not used to things, it becomes a problem. So someone was given accommodation in a hotel, and the person just felt that this hotel is expensive, so I cannot be eating anyhow. But at the front desk, the people that put them in hotels, I told them at the front desk, anything that they eat, please, we'll pay. You understand? So, but then breakfast was free. You understand? Breakfast was free. So this person woke up in the morning, was thinking, what did I eat today? He didn't eat in the morning. Breakfast was waiting. It was free. The following morning, he didn't eat. The 3 days after, he didn't eat in the morning. Then on the fourth day, he saw one of them eating. He said, how much did he miss? This thing is paid for. It's paid for. They paid even before we got here. That's the same thing God has done for us. But if we do not know, we will not access it. And how will we know? Except we read it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd,
I shall not want. I think I said it 2 weeks ago. You're not wanting. Means that, how do I do it now? You're not wanting. It's not that you don't have shoes. Well, let me use shoes as an example. Now you have a pair of shoes. You know, when we were growing up as boys, you always look at the ones that they bought for your friends. Their parents bought for them. That's what you'll be looking at. Me, I was wearing Cortina. You know Cortina? Who knows Cortina? How many people know Cortina? You know Bata? You know Bata? You don't know Cortina? You don't know Cortina? That brown shoe. This projector is not working. There's brown. See, that time, I was in Ibadan. Sometimes we come to Ojota here, by this bus stop. There was Bata shop here. Then there's another one across. There are factories across the road. You buy. Cortina is brown. If you are not careful, if you kick the stone, it become white. So my mama, she will go and buy Cortina JJ. Those children that used to go for summer, travel out, they will come back with tennis. All these tennis that everybody is wearing today that is so common, they will come back with tennis. Then you will be looking at the Cortina, the sole is hard. The tennis is pumping. You know what something is pumping? When you are going, you will be like this. Then one day, somebody said, now there's a shoe that they call air pumps. They call it air pumps. When you enter that shoe, you'll be like this, like Eshin Gagara. I know you'll be bouncing. You know that this my work is different. So I will go. I want to wear air pumps. Now, it's not that I don't have shoe. It's not a need. I have shoe. It is a want. I want to wear air pumps. And be careful the things you want to wear in this life. Oh, be careful, oh. Let me tell you another thing. So I wore my Cortina JJ throughout, the one my mama could afford. So when I started working and I felt like I was a big boy, I wanted to dress like the homies. You know the homies? Do you know the homies? Those happening people. So I got jeans. This guy is not wearing jeans today. Who's wearing jeans? I got jeans that is baggy. They call it stone wash. Then I went to buy Timberland, the one that is up to this place. Timberland. Then it's so like that. And then I wore big sweatshirts. And then I carried my bag on my way to America. I was just bouncing, going as I arrived. When I go to the immigration bus stop, they'll stop me. I say, young man, I say, yes. He say, you look suspicious. I say, ha. If I had worn my normal shoe and I didn't put on baggy, I would have looked very responsible. I was just going with sweatshirt, and I was going, guys, I said, yeah, please come to this side. And they were using yes, sir, for me. They took me to this side. From this side, they took me inside. When I got inside, then they started reading, what do you call it, your rights to you. So first of all, they waited, they got my bag, and I was laughing. I said, this is Ibadan boy, I'm just going to America. These people are wasting their time. So they took me inside. Inside, there was a bench, golden bench, like this. And then there were leg cuffs on the floor. You know leg cuffs? You know there is hand cuff. Eh? That was the first time I was in leg cuff. There was leg cuff here and here. So they said, sit on the bench. That's when I started sweating, though. Yes, sit on the bench. They said, do we have your permission? We want to search your bag, blah, blah, blah. I said, it's your country, oh. Anything you want to do. Just, when I was looking at leg cuff, I said, man, I just was like, when I get out of here, I will never dress like this again. Amen. So, and honestly, up to today, you cannot see me wear those things again. Anytime I'm going to travel, I'll just look like, say this one, I will come to church, I will wear a t-shirt. When I'm traveling, I will dress like a professor. So when it's because it's when they see you, they will address you. I will dress like a professor. Like, sir, fine. You got to do homies. When you are doing OMI, you will talk. They will let you go. There was a time I told you, my driver is here. See, there's nobody with Esther here. So that I won't think I'm abusing him. His hair was like dada, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. Then they stopped him. And they told my son, said, this person driving you, he doesn't look responsible. Now I'm saying the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Meaning that he will provide the basic thing for you. And then if you want additional, he will provide it. But he says, he will lead me to where? Oh yeah, now, Psalm 23 now.
Oluwa ni oluṣagun to mi ebi ki yo sha lai ni ohun ti o dara abi o mu mi bidubule ni papa oko tutu o tu oko bi lara. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And then he says that, this one, between I shall not want and for his name's sake, he says, he makes me to lie down. He leads me, and then he restores. Hallelujah. Everything he does is him that takes the lead. And then you follow. That's what the psalmist is saying. He leads me, that means he leads me, and I'm following. Hallelujah. He makes a provision and I step into it. Hallelujah. Why is God doing that? He says, for his name's sake. For the sake of God. For the sake of his name. He has done all these things. So it will be out of place for you to think that the thing he said he will do, you will not do it. Because the Bible says that he values his what? Eh? His name, his word more than his name. So if he says it, if he's doing all these things for his namesake, whatever he says, he values it more than his namesake. He will do it. If you think there's something that has not materialized, it's not that God has not done it. It's a space of time. But stay where he is. He says he leads, he restores, for his namesake. Let's rise to our feet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. If people say that you won't make it, the Bible is telling you that before your enemies, he has prepared a table. And even with that table, your cup will run over. Hallelujah. Those are the words that you hold on to. Philippians chapter 4 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of a good report, those are the things that you should meditate upon. Hallelujah. He says he prepares a table before your enemies. Meaning that they cannot even dare to come near it. Because the one that prepares the table is the one that is protecting. He says, for his namesake, everything that he's doing is for his namesake. If there's any word, the Bible also tells us that we should remind God of the things that he has told us. Hallelujah. Of the works of my hand, command ye me. Hallelujah. If there's anything, all eyes closed, is that anything that you have asked of God this morning. Hallelujah. Or ask for him before today. Just remind him of his word. That he says that he cherishes his word above his name. Hallelujah. And his word will not go forth and return to him void until it accomplishes that with what he has sent forth. Thank him because you will understand that this is his word. You will understand this is what you do per time.
and you walk with what God is saying. Give him all the praise this morning. Is your prayer out for yourself this morning? Just thank him and give him praise. Remind yourself of the things that he has done. Remind yourself of the things that he has said. And know that these things he will do for his name's sake. He will prepare a table for you. Your cup runs over. Nothing will deny you from taking from that cup. Because your cup, there will be more than enough. That's what God is saying. Give him all the praise this morning. Give him all the glory. Thank him for his word. Thank him. God, we thank you. Thank you because you're a true God. Thank you because you're by your mercies that we have not been consumed. We're not consumed because there's a purpose for our life. And thank you because we will live to enjoy that purpose in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Even as we take this communion this morning, we remind ourselves of the very basis of our salvation. The beginning of a new month, the beginning of a new week, the beginning of a new day. Lord, we thank you. The scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. These do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Hallelujah. And when we read 1 Peter chapter 2, and we read Isaiah 53, it says, "By stripes we are healed, by the blood that was shed on the cross." Hallelujah. "Our sins were blotted away." Hallelujah. But when we look at the cross, we are healed. As we remind ourselves of the blood of Christ this morning, as we remind ourselves of his broken body, as we remind ourselves of these things this morning, the power in the resurrection will rest upon us. And indeed, it will vitalize our mortal bodies in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you have to make peace with God this morning, make peace with him. Hallelujah. Even as we take these elements of the communion, just remind him. I tell you, unto him you surrender. You surrender everything to him. And then if you have anything that you want to lay upon him, just tell him that even as you take this communion, the things that have been done, that have been freely given to you, they come to you. You move towards them by obeying his instructions in Jesus' name. Thank him because by his stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. By his stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. And you move into your divine health in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. We bless these elements of the communion. And even as we take to it, eyes of understanding will be enlightened. And indeed, we will not remain the same. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power.
pray over it from elements. That indeed, that power be alive and work at work on the inside of you by the grace of the Almighty God. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you and magnify you. Thank you for your word. Thank you because it liberates. Hallelujah. It gives understanding. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.